where we are learning to enjoy God, love each other, and bless our neighbors. I was asked to share my favorite thing about Common House Youth, and I would say it's just how close... Oh, you may be seated. Sorry about that. My favorite thing about Common House Youth is just how close the group is. It is a really small group, and this trip we were just on, we saw that a lot, just how close we are and like just how like small we got to know everyone really well. So, yeah.
Oh, my favorite thing about Common House Youth is getting to hang out with friends, playing games, and enjoying a great message that Josh shares every youth group. And we have some announcements. Our Landisville Manor District of Churches celebration will join together for a special day of worship and fellowship where we will share and celebrate what God is doing among the churches of our district. The 10 congregations of our LMC district will gather Sunday, August 18th at 10 a.m. for a worship service, followed by a fellowship meal and afternoon recreation with volleyball, cornhole, and other fun games. It will be at the Central Manor Camp located at 798 Central Manor Road, Washington, Borough, PA. Bring the whole family for a morning of worship, hearing the different churches, a message from Bishop Keith, and a fellowship meal following the service. And Josh can come up.
Come on, can we give it up for them real quick? It is always nerve-wracking anytime you have to take the stage. So I can imagine as a student, it is even more nerve-wracking. So well done, Jacob and Nathan. And to the worship team, man, what a powerful time of worship. Welcome this morning to church. Welcome to Youth Sunday. In a few moments, I'm going to invite our student leaders up, and they're going to be sharing most of the morning. But I wanted to just take a moment to explain why we do things like Youth Sunday, why we support the next gen as a church, and things like that. You know, I was thinking this weekend as we were on high school kickoff retreat, what a powerful time it was of encountering God. Logan led us in worship all weekend. Myself and Tony Brubaker preached, and it was such a good time of connecting with God. We were actually in a new space this year. We were at Kenbrook Bible Camp, and what a great space that was just to be with each other and God. And as I was thinking about my years in youth ministry, I'm approaching 14 years in youth ministry, right? Like, it feels like forever. And one of the things that I've been saying since day one about youth ministry is this phrase that whoever wants this generation the most will have them. And can I just say, the world desperately wants this generation. And if the church doesn't have the same level of desperation and even greater intensity to want this generation, we'll lose them. And it's why we see in America why when students graduate from high school, they often dip off and they slip into this nominal kind of period in their faith journey. And I just want to say to us, as long as I'm breathing, as long as I'm here, we're going to chase after the next generation with a ferocity, with an intensity, with a zeal, because I believe this generation matters to God. And they're world changers now. They're not world changers in the future. We say this to our students all the time. You are history makers and world changers now. You make a difference in your school now. And in Common House Youth is a special place. You know, when Becca and I moved up here 2.5 years ago, we took over an amazing youth group that the structure, the foundation had already been laid by generations of youth leaders who have poured relentlessly into this church, into the next gen. And one of the things that we shifted is we said, hey, this youth group will always be about two things. And it's this, that we're going to reach the lost and we're going to disciple the found. That we're going to put intentionality on reaching the lost. We want students in our ministry who are broken, who are hurting, to come. We have a saying that we've been saying that is simply this, that you will always belong at Common House Youth before you ever believe. That your family, before you ever say yes to Jesus, that you're automatically accepted, and that as you're a part of the family, that you will find hope. You'll find this person named Jesus to heal your wounds. And we've been watching it since we've been here on retreats and mission trips. And that's really our desire, is to create this environment. And as you heard last week and the weekly email, we're making this kind of big shift as a youth ministry from moving from Sunday nights to Wednesday nights. And we did this because we just believe this, that we want to reach more students. And we also want to create a destination that Wednesday nights are for next gen ministry. How cool is it that kids age 4 all the way to grades 12 now have a place to come hear about the good news of Jesus? It's amazing. And I just want to say kudos to Pioneer Clubs and Joyce Grable and the team and Nancy. Like, they've been putting so much effort in behind the scenes to get ready for this fall. And we've collaborated together to say, hey, we are going to reach the next gen here on Wednesday nights. For the neighbors around us who might have kids and they might not even attend here, this now is a place for their kid to be in a safe environment to learn about who Jesus is. As I was thinking about, what does Jesus think about the next gen? The scripture that instantly came to my mind was Matthew 18, and I want to read it for us, verses 1-5. It says this: at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, this child, I love this. Jesus says, this is who is the greatest in the kingdom. He says, this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And finally, verse 5, it says, and whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. And I just wanted to say, like, to you guys as a congregation, well done. Well done in living this out, in saying that not only are you going to put money towards next gen ministry, but you put manpower, you put effort, you put prayer. I think of people like Bonnie Mateer who prays endlessly for the next gen. Like, there's generations in this church that have been investing and believing in the next gen. And can I just say, Jesus's heart is pleased. It's pleased, it's moved. And as a church family, would it be always among us that we say little children are always welcome here? That we'll always create space, we'll try new things, we'll make room for the next gen, because at the end of the day, the next gen is the future of this church. They're the future. And for all those that have given to mission trips and retreats, and man, I just want to say thank you. You're amazing. That money, that work hasn't gone unseen. God sees it. We see it. And over the course of these last 2 years, I just wanted to shout out my leaders. I've worked with some of, honestly, the most amazing adult leaders I think I've ever had the opportunity to work with. And so I just want to run through this list so you can know who's been involved the last couple of years in youth ministry. Some previous leaders: Lauren and Amy Benner, Heidi and Derek Mellaby, and John and Carrie Garber. Like, they, man, they laid the foundation. When I got here, Heidi, Derek, Amy, and Lauren, they were running junior high ministry. They had already laid the foundation. And so it was an easy for me to kind of pick up and just move with what they were already doing. And John and Carrie have poured relentlessly into the ministry for so many years. And I'm excited that we actually have a really big team come this fall with Tony and Becky Brubaker, my wife Becca, Renee Flory, Avery Wagner, Kara and Jeremy Newswiner, Kaylee Toole, and Cordell and Jen Yoder. Like, we have an amazing team of adults that are ready to meet students here on Wednesday nights. And I can't wait. And so this morning, as we do these Youth Sundays, we like to have our student leadership team. So we have our adult leaders. They're the ones that kind of are the spiritual maturity in our ministry. They run small groups and they hang out with kids or on retreats. But then we also have a student leadership team who Becca and I specifically pour into and invest into and believe in, because we want to raise up next gen leaders now. And so every Youth Sunday, when we get the opportunity to do this, I like to bring them on stage to be able to talk about them, to be able to let them share what God's been doing in their life. And so they've prepared hard. So I'm going to welcome to the stage Callie, Wade, Kyla, and Ella. Can we give it up for them as they come? And they're going to share with us this morning. They've prepared some answers in advance, but I wanted to throw a little zinger at them that they didn't know to answer. So this is going to throw them on the spot. So each one of them is going to share a scripture that has been foundational for them as a believer. And they're going to share how they've applied it and then how as a church we can apply it. And so each one of them is going to do that. But before they share their scripture, each one of them, I'm going to ask them an icebreaker question. So Callie, I know you absolutely love coffee. You especially love Becca's coffee. So what is your go-to coffee drink?
An iced caramel latte with oat milk.
Ooh, with oat milk.
Yeah.
Our dairy farmers are like giving you like a dirty
look
right
sorry,
now.
I know, I'm sorry.
Would you share with us your scripture this morning?
Yeah, okay. I have three. So we each chose, we each chose a fruit of the Spirit to talk about. So mine was joy. So first is Job 33:26. And it says, he will pray to God and God will delight in him. That person will see his face with a shout of joy and God will restore his righteousness to him. And then Psalm 16:9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My body also rests securely. And my last verse is Isaiah 35:10. And the redeemed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing, crowned with unending joy. Joy and gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee.
That's great. How has that, like, how are those three scriptures, how have you applied them over your life, and how can the church apply them today?
Okay, so I did three different questions about them. So the first question, why did you choose this, this scripture? So each of these three verses reference joy in a way that demonstrates how it can overcome you. Joy is a full body experience in these verses. In Job 33:26, it's a shout of joy. In Psalm 16:9, it's a heart that's glad and a whole being rejoicing. In Isaiah 35:10, joy and gladness overtake God's people. Personally, I believe that joy is something to seek every single day. In these verses, the people being talked about aren't perfect. They don't lead perfect lives or act like perfect people. They're broken people with millions of reasons to be sad, angry, or upset, but yet they look up to the sky and dance, sing, or shout for joy. I think there's real power in taking a page from their book by letting him have our sadness and sorrows and allow him to give us great joy by simply choosing to trust and rejoice in him.
That's great. Well done.
Should I do the other two?
Yep.
Okay. So the second question was, how have you applied this to your life? So I sort of said this when I answered the first question, but I believe that joy is a choice that we make every day. So every morning when you wake up, you have the opportunity to seek joy or to just go about your day as normal. Both options are similar in that whichever you choose doesn't directly affect your life or your day, but it affects how you view your day. Personally, it's so easy to take God's goodness for granted, but making this slight change in mindset, the slight change in my mindset has greatly improved my life and overall joy. And then the last question, how can the listener apply it? The best advice that I can give would be to choose joy each day, to think of joy as something to look for in every moment and allow your whole being to rejoice in those moments, as Psalm 16:9 says. Thank God for those moments of joy that you find and continue to ask that he would help you find joy in your life. And also I challenge everyone to pray these verses over your life.
That's great. Well done. So Wade, your icebreaker question is, what is your favorite responsibility working for Jake Arbor? This might determine if you get a raise, so be careful how you answer.
I'm gonna have to say, when he leaves, I'm in charge of feeding the cats every day, so I'm gonna say that's my favorite. Yeah.
That's amazing. So what scripture did you choose, and how can we apply it?
So the fruit of the Spirit that I chose was patience, and I did Psalms 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So I was focusing more on just like that first part of the verse of why I chose this. Because I think we just live in a world where everything comes instantly to us. We have, like, overnight shipping, and we have our Amazon two-day shipping, and, like, text messages and emails go through right away. And then, like if we have breaking news, we get an alert on our phone right after it happens.
So, like, when it comes to God and our prayer requests, I think we sometimes just have the same expectations that we want this right away and that we deserve to have this right away. And just thinking about it, too, just God waits for us so patiently. Some of us spend almost our whole lives running away from him, but he always welcomes us with open arms as soon as we turn to him. And the way I applied this to my life, sometimes I just kind of like take a step back and just like think about all the situations where God has been faithful and true and has always followed through. And every time I think about it, I arrive at the same conclusion. God will never let you down. He will never be unfaithful. So when I don't get the results I want right away, I know he will always follow through on the timing that's right. And I would challenge anyone who is listening to do the same if they ever find themselves in a situation where they find themselves wanting results right away. Sometimes we may not see how faithful he has been to us until we just take a step back and look at it.
That's great. Well done. So, Kyla, I know you are a massive Brandon Lake fan, okay? If you don't know who Brandon Lake is, he's a worship leader. She got to see him the other night. She was, like, right in his face over at the Hershey Stadium or wherever they were. But what is your favorite song from Brandon Lake and why?
I'll probably have to say Gratitude, just because the lyrics are just so good. Like, it's so good.
Nice. So what scripture did you choose, and how can we apply it?
I chose two scripture. I chose Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then I chose John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I chose these because right now I have a foot injury, which is not what I want right now, especially at this time of the year with soccer season coming up. So just trusting and having peace that God has a plan for me and that this foot is like part of his plan, and having this injury could mean I didn't tear my ACL or something bigger, and I have the opportunity to have more time and more energy that I can put forth for God. And just being on the sideline is also huge. Like, you can't play a soccer game without teammates on the sideline cheering you on. So being that cheerleader for my teammates is very important. So I will be applying peace and to my life because this is not going my way. So I have to have peace and know that God chose this for me and that it is beneficial to his plan and in the long run. And you guys, I challenge you that if something happens that you were not expecting or you don't want, just to have peace with God and know that it is part of a bigger plan that you don't know yet, but one day you will see and you will know it was for the greater good.
That's great. Well done. So, Ella, I know you play field hockey. Why do you like field hockey? And have you ever, like, savagely took someone out? Like, just because, like, you're just going after them?
Okay. I like field hockey because it's, like, it's kind of different. I feel like not many people play it. And you might not think it's aggressive, but it can be. You can whack people with your stick. I don't know if I've taken people out. I've gotten taken out. Before I got hit in the head, but I've definitely taken people out, but it's not been like they're injured.
Oh,
just
okay.
Like maybe like body checked them a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. What scripture did you choose and how have you applied it and how can we apply it?
Okay. I chose 1 John 1:9 and I did the NIV version. And it is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So my fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And I just want to start out with a definition So it is lasting loyalty and trustworthiness in relationships, or steadfast and dedicated. So I chose this because I feel like it's easy to relate to, because God has been faithful to us, but sometimes we are not faithful to him. And it just shows God's grace and faithfulness, because he will forgive us if we confess our sins, and he will cleanse us with a clean palate. And I am going to apply this to my life, because school is coming around, and there's some things that people do that are unfaithful, and it's like the trend, and it's like the normal that everyone does. And I just think remembering that I need to stay faithful to God because he's faithful to me, and making it a two-way street, and remembering that his way is the best way, and not to feed into like the lies that other people are doing and what they're saying. And last question, listener application. I just think for you guys to remember that the past is the past, and if you've been unfaithful, that God has forgiven your sin, and to move forward and not to live in that sin anymore, and just to kind of be renewed and to live in the clean slate. We talked about it this weekend at the retreat, just to move on from the past and to remember to be faithful, and yeah, and not being too hard on yourself, because stuff happens, and it's how you move on from the mistake that shows your character. And yeah, that's all I got.
That's great. Well done. Come on, can we give it up for her? So we'll start with you, Ella, since you have the mic. I've asked them basically four questions to kind of come with. And their questions on, you know, how student leadership impacted them this past year. But then I wanted to get specific and ask them, you know, what can we as a church do to continue to reach Gen Z? So there's some questions. So what we're going to do is we're going to go one question at a time down the line. So the first question is, how has student leadership impacted you this past year?
It's definitely kept me accountable, because we had to read the Rooted book, and I've learned a lot from that book. It was really amazing. And I think just growing closer to other godly people was really helpful in like growth and like learning from them, and from Josh and Becca, learning from them. And also we got to go to Passion, which was amazing. That was one of our like events that we did. And that just really, really impacted my faith. And I think the last thing is that it got me ready to like get baptized. It made me feel ready to commit, and I just think that was like really important in my faith journey.
That's great. Kyla, how has student leadership impacted you?
Student leadership made me do a lot of self-reflection. So the biggest impact it had on me was just like my commitment to God. And this was hard for me, because I genuinely thought I was like 100% like, yes, like I'm there. But through student leadership and like reading Rooted and Passion, all like that stuff just made me realize like I just was not 100% there. Mm. So it made me do some self-reflecting, and it has impacted me, because I am now, I feel like I'm a lot more grounded, and Rooted helped me get my foundation down, which was really helpful. So now that I have my foundation down, I feel like in these coming years, I can impact others and overflow.
I like that. Ooh, overflow. I like that word. Wade, how has student leadership impacted you?
I've been really impacted by student leadership, just because like it's opened up doors for me that I may have just like walked past before. Just like going to Passion is something that like if I was on my own, I'd definitely never even consider that. And it really challenged me to be deeply involved in the youth group. And I think that just really helped me grow a deeper connection with everybody in the youth group. And, yeah.
That's great. Callie, how has student leadership impacted you?
So, to me, student leadership this year was mostly about community. I don't know if any of you know this, but Josh and Becca put hours and hours into preparing their home and a meal for us for every meeting, and their hearts. They read the same chapters of the book that we do. And I feel like that cultivated a space for all of us to grow together and pursue the Lord. Last year, I was also in student leadership, and I feel like that was what created a foundation for me, just to be able to learn how to be a leader and be more involved in the youth group. But then this year was more about my personal walk with God and pursuing him with the community of other people.
That's great. So we'll ask you the next question, and again, we'll go down the line. What is the biggest thing Gen Z desires in their walk with God?
So I believe that Gen Z really desires relationship. Like I just said, community was a huge part for me this past year. And I think that that's something Gen Z seriously desires. I think our generation values learning about the Lord and pursuing him with others. And I also think that there's truly something to be said about equally yoked friendships and relationships. I truly believe that our generation longs for those and needs those.
That's great. Wade, what is the biggest thing Gen Z desires in their walk with God?
I believe that the biggest thing we desire is just truth and answers. I mean, we look around us, and it's no secret that this world is just getting more chaotic every day. And there's lines being drawn that are meant to separate us into different groups, and we're being pulled from every angle by different group who have different ideas of right and wrong. And with all this pulling and all these different ideologies, just gets harder and harder to see the truth. So I think it's impossible for us to find who we truly are without knowing God's truth first. And when we see it, we will find peace in the middle of all the chaos.
Yeah, that's good. Kyla, same question.
I think we desire encounters and proof, because in this world, like Wade was saying, there's a lot of different directions you could go, and it's so easy to go off. So I think just one encounter or one moment that you truly felt God and the Holy Spirit with you, to be able to look at that moment when harder things come, is just so important, so that you can say no to the devil and say no to those choices when they are so available and right in your face. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Ella?
Callie spoke on the community part, which was one of mine. But another one that I had was just me personally, I desire to be able to show my love for others. So through my talents or through my blessings that God has given me, I love community service. I think mission trips are so fun. And I just think that's something that I desire, being able to give through my gifting. So I'm just really thankful that I can do that. So yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I've witnessed that, in all of you, but in you especially, when we've been on mission trips, just your love to be there and present. It's great. Next question is, what is Gen Z looking for in a church?
I think connection and something upbeat and regular. I like how we're doing Sundays and then Wednesdays. I think just being able to meet up with everyone and talk about your week. I just think having people alongside of you in a church is really nice, and a close-knit youth group. And we have a really close-knit youth group, which I think is really fun, because I feel we're able to share with each other in small groups, and it's easy to be heard by all the people surrounding you. So I just think we have a lot of help for us to be able to get through things and not by ourselves.
That's great. Same question.
I think we are looking for a community to love us and just really care for us genuinely and deeply. Connection is just so important, and relationships with others. I just feel if you can just love on them, that's just there's so much hate in this world that we need all the love that you could give us. Just be purposeful with your conversations and just show that you care. And if you had a past conversation and they talked about their dog, remember their dog and ask them about their dog the next time you talk to them.
I love that. Yeah. Being genuine in those relationships is awesome. Wade?
I think that we're just looking for support and guidance. We all know the path of a Christian is definitely not even close to a perfect one. But I think as a congregation, we can gather around each other and support each other. And just also, when it comes to, new Christians and stuff, when they read the Bible, it can be a really confusing book. And just, it can be hard to understand. And I think we're also, as a congregation, we're also just supposed to help guide them down a path of understanding so we can just, yeah, just give support and guidance and, yeah, just keep checking up on each other and keep following through just because you never know when someone may be having questions or doubts or even if they just need a helping hand.
That's great. I love your Bible one because I'm just thinking this past weekend we played a game called Real or Fake, and it was about real or fake phrases in the Bible. And there was Song of Solomon phrases that most of the students didn't think was real. And I'm like, no, that's in the Bible. It's good. Callie, same question.
Okay, so one of the biggest things that I believe our generation is looking for in a church is a passion and a heart on fire for the Lord. I hate to say it, but the brutal and honest truth is that a lot of churches are simply lukewarm. If you don't know what it means to be lukewarm, it means that you believe the gospel and you are a Christian, but you don't have a desire to serve, pursue, or preach his word. Gen Z really needs churches that are excited about the gospel and all that the Lord is doing. I think we can all agree this world needs Jesus and that the gospel needs to be shared and spread. And that truly God is using our generation to do so. That being said, I believe that it's super important that our generation has good role models from within the church so that we can be trained and equipped with a fire for the Lord while living out the Great Commission.
Whew, that's a mic drop. We can just end service, pray it out, go home. That was good. Last question for you guys is, what do you see God doing in Gen Z right now?
So I feel like I see God building up leaders in our generation, whether that's in the church or just in general. I think that he's made our generation with a fire and a passion for a reason, and that's because he's made us for such a time as this. Simply put, I think he's stirred in us a courage and a strength to speak out for his glory. I see a lot of people on social media becoming more and more vocal about their faith, and also people with really large followings becoming Christians, and I don't think that's a coincidence. Our generation has been really blessed to grow up in a world where we can easily share the gospel through technology, and I think it's beautiful to see how he can use our platforms for his glory.
Yeah, that's great. Wade?
I see a revival happening in Gen Z. I see their eyes being open to who God is. I see them turning away from all the temporary desires and distractions and setting their sights on the eternal truth of God. I see them tired of going through this world alone and joining a community of a church or a Bible study or a small group or a youth group. I just see a new hunger for security and identity through God.
That's really good.
I would say God is moving because people are so confused, and I think there's a lot of different, like I said before, there's so many different paths you can take in life, and it's hard to choose which one is for you, and you feel like people are telling you all different things from all around you. So I feel like God is making, like, social media is like a huge part, like people are like love social media. So I think that using social media, God is going to, like Callie said, big platforms are, people are becoming Christians, and I just think that through that, like, one person might see just one video, and that one video could change their life, and I truly think that God is using social media and just, like, screens and technology that we have to spread his word and reach those people who are confused and hearing lots of different things just to show them that the one truth and just really impact their life in that way.
That's great. I love it. Yeah.
For me, I think our generation is very bold. I think we're very confident in who we are, and we're not afraid to, like, share what we believe. And I think that can truly change everyone's life around us, because I think when some of us are around, like, different groups of people that are non-believers, it's hard to be like, hey, like, have you heard about Jesus? And it's, like, hard to bring it up. But I think our generation is truly gifted with the confidence and the passion for God that we just feel the need to share. We don't hold back. And I just think that is truly a blessing, because I think it can change each generation to come. So
that's great. Wow. Well, you guys have been amazing. It has been an honor being able to walk beside you for Callie and Wade. Like, this is really kind of a sad moment for me, because you guys are getting ready to venture off into this new season of your life, but you both were the first student leaders, and you've continued, and Becca and I are very proud of you, and for Kyla and Ella, like, the passion you guys carry is contagious, and so continue in that passion for Jesus. We wanted to end out, so I'm going to invite the worship team back up. We're going to